A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 202. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Redshift. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Redshift was a 1978 84-minute television play for the BBC Play for Today series. It was adapted by Alan Garner from a book also by Alan Garner, and it featured a rather complicated story with three different time periods and different characters in those time periods that were connected one to the other, with some sort of fantasy and mystical type elements that Garner often used, and also these sort of abstract and surreal ideas that were quite interesting.
Yes, Alan Garner likes to throw in these weird and wonderful themes into his books, and Redshift is a prime example, and we'll talk about the complexities of the novel as we go along. And we've been watching this DVD release, which is quite interesting. It's probably the most recent release we've covered on British Invaders, because if you've been following us on Facebook, you'll know that over the last sort of few months of 2014, the British Film Institute, the BFI, threw out quite a number of very interesting science fiction related DVDs, tying in with a season they were running all about science fiction film. So it's one of a number of interesting releases, and the first one of the batch that we've got to here on British Invaders, Brian.
Yes, and we will at some point do a bonus show and talk a little bit about some of those releases, because there's some interesting things there, some of them from shows that we've already covered on British Invaders.
Okay, so here we have Redshift. Now, the setup and character is a little bit complicated because of the multiple time frames for this story, but we'll see how we get on. We have, in sort of late 70s Britain, a young man and his girlfriend struggling with their relationship and with their parents as they try to keep things going, particularly when distance separates them. So we have Tom, the young man, played by Stephen Fletcher, a troubled and rather intense young chap who we know has got also has epilepsy. And he is deeply in love with Jan, played by Leslie Dunlop, who is a nursing student who goes off to study, I believe, in London. And the fact that she's going to be away for such long periods of time really puts quite a strain on their relationship and their love for each other.
Yes, it's interesting because they show this quite strong relationship and all of these challenges they have and they have to overcome. And the two of them decide that by looking at the same star every night at the same time, the same sky, so to speak, that they can maintain a connection and think of each other when they're far away. And they decide to look at Delta Orionis in Orion's Belt. And Tom notes that it's the same star and the same point in the sky that they're looking at as it was back in Roman times. Which brings us to Roman times. And in Roman-ruled Britain in 123 AD, Macy, played by Andrew Byatt, is this young soldier who is with this isolated unit of soldiers trying to survive as they are hunted by their enemies in Britain.
Yes, they're sort of being hunted by local tribes, this isolated unit of Roman soldiers. I suspect there's probably supposed to be more of them than are actually shown in the TV series, but budgetary limitations, I would guess, made them concentrate on just a few soldiers. And as you say, we've got Macy, a young man. Again, he has some form of seizures or epilepsy, but they seem to take the form of a sort of berserker rage. And when we first see him, this leads him to fight off an attack by a tribe of Britons. So it's quite useful in combat, and that's how we see him first of all. And then this unit of Roman soldiers, they take refuge on a stony hilltop, a place that's called Mau Kop, and we'll hear it referred to in the other time frames as well. And a captured girl from a local British tribe tells them something about the mystical importance of the place where they're staying and hiding out. Obviously to them it seems like a good place because it's up high and they can defend it, but it's got more significance to the local British tribes, which we'll find out a bit more of as we go along.
Yes, that's right. And then we also have a third time frame during the English Civil War in 1643. A number of parliamentary supporters are taking refuge in St. Bertoline's Church in Barthomley. And they are led by this young charismatic preacher, John Fowler, who was played by a British actor I particularly like, James Hazeldine, who we remember from The Omega Factor and Chalky and The Last Train. And young Tom Rowley is another young man who suffers from epilepsy. And the condition in this case provokes a confrontation with the royalist troops who have surrounded the church. So things are being brought on and changed in the situation by these young men having epilepsy in these various time frames.
Yeah, we do have the links between these three stories. We have these three similar young men. We have the tension of the modern day relationship problems. And then we've got these events, which, as we'll discuss, are based on real history. This unit of Roman soldiers and this siege at a church during the English Civil War. And we'll find that there's more links between the stories, particularly about this place called Mau Kop, which is near to all of the action of these three separated times. But also there's this strange, very sort of black, highly polished axe head, and it comes into the possession of each of these three young men, and somehow it links them, and somehow there's a sort of connection formed over the centuries. Certainly, it's never completely explained what this axe head is or what it can do. We first see it being used as a weapon, obviously, in Roman times. And then young Tom finds it, and he finds it very important to him. And he keeps it. And when his parents accidentally throw it in the bin, he's very distressed. So it's clearly of some importance, Brian.
Yes, you have the connections there with the axe head, as you say, and with Mau Kop, and also with the star Delta Orionis, which has something of a connection in the different time periods as well. So we have some different ideas with these connections that are kept in a way that is sort of abstract and not really explained in a lot of detail, which is quite interesting, I think.
Okay, so as you can tell, the setup and the characters are not entirely straightforward, but hopefully we've given you the gist of it. We're going to talk a little bit about the production now, and we have to talk in some detail about the writer, the director, and also we'll mention the Play for Today series itself. So Alan Garner, who was born 1934, so in his 70s now, very well-known English fantasy and science fiction writer, I suppose more on the fantastical side of things than straight science fiction, Brian.
Usually, I think that is where he leans, a little more towards fantasy, but not always conventional fantasy. Sometimes these things that are a little more abstract and dealing with bits of mysticism and that sort of thing.
Okay, and he started out, I guess, publishing for children with The Weird Stone of Brisingamen, and a 1960 novel for children, and its sequel, The Moon of Gomrath, in 1963. And then possibly his best-known work, The Owl Service, which was published in 1967, won the Carnegie Medal for Children's Literature, and was a couple of years later was made into a TV series, which is actually on our Possibles list for future episodes. Certainly it's the book I'm most familiar with of his, a very interesting and complicated story. But we've got another interesting and complicated story here, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Redshift was published in 1973, and Garner himself actually lives near the Maokop village, and he was looking at things that were local to this area where he was living, and he noted a newspaper story about two young lovers who lived apart, and there was a tragic end to it, and that got him thinking about some of these sorts of things, a little bit similar to where he went in the present day time frame in the novel. He was also interested in the rather horrible events of the siege at Bartholomew Church, and also the legend of the disappearance of the Roman 9th Legion. So these sort of turned into bits of things with the different time frames that he went with, along with there was this local story about a group of Spanish slaves who were marched north to build Hadrian's Wall in Roman times and escaped and sought refuge at Maokop. So you had these different sorts of present day and historical ideas, and he took some of these and wove them into something that was quite original and used a bunch of original ideas there as well. So it's sort of a complicated book with a complicated origin.
Okay, so Redshift, published in 1973, and then sometime around 77, he was asked to adapt it himself for a television film, which was going to be made by the Scottish director John McKenzie. And it's interesting, we noted before we were recording that the start titles of this programme very clearly say that this is a film by Alan Garner and John McKenzie. McKenzie sort of had worked on some very famous British social realist films in the 60s, Up the Junction and Kathy Come Home, very well known. In the 70s, he was mostly working on TV and, in fact, on the Play for Today series. But after Redshift, he would actually move into cinema, and he made the extremely well-regarded British gangster film The Long Good Friday with Bob Hoskins. He's had a very good cinema career as well.
Interesting. Play for Today ran from 1970 to 1984, and it was quite a prestigious time slot and series. It was BBC's flagship drama title with over 300 films or television plays that ran throughout its run on the BBC. Most of those, as far as I know, did not have much in the way of international distribution. It was mostly something that was done for the BBC and broadcast in the UK. But it was really quite a big deal, and it's something that is not quite as well known outside the UK, that these sort of play series, and certainly Play for Today for the 1970s and early 80s, were very well-established and high-quality type of production that ran for a long time and were quite a central part of television in Britain.
Yeah, it's a very important series. And again, you reminded me beforehand, Brian, that perhaps we've touched on it before when we discussed The Flip Side of Dominic Hyde, which also went out in the Play for Today slots, and the sequel did as well.
Yes, that's right. We haven't covered a lot from it, but it is certainly a very interesting series that had a very wide variety of different things on it. Redshift was filmed on location in 1977. A number of different sites were used for Mau Cop, which now has a folly built on its top, so it isn't as much of a fit for Mau Cop as it looked in the past. So they used different locations for that. And also for St. Bertoline's Church, they used different locations. But they did basically a location shoot on multiple locations for the production.
Okay, and it was broadcast on the 17th of January 1978 after the 9 p.m. watershed, as were all the plays for today. Because if you know anything about that series, you'll know that it often included quite adult themes. And in fact, there were some quite famous and controversial episodes during the 1970s. And this play does also include a few sort of adult moments, particularly in the climax of the siege on St. Bertoline's Church, which is quite violent. So, yes, there are some difficult moments during that.
Yes, in the Roman time frame, when the female character who features quite centrally in that time frame, some of the things that happen related to her are fairly difficult and adult issues that are brought into things.
Okay, so there we have it. It's a big director, a big writer, and very important BBC Play for Today series.
But in fact, even with all of these sort of big things with it, it's not that well remembered as a teleplay. We don't hear that much about it.
No, I mean, it's interesting. We'll perhaps talk next time about a little bit more about why the BFI have chosen this one. But as I say, for availability, here in Region 2, we have this brand spanking new BFI release from 2014 with a new high-definition transfer of the play itself. We've got some extras on the disc, so we have a very short interview with the first assistant director, Bob Jacobs, and the film editor, Oliver White, which give us some brief insights into the production of this play. We then have a short film called One Pair of Eyes, Alan Garner, All Systems Go, which is an experimental and autobiographical piece all about the writer. That lasts about 40 minutes. And it does deal with some of the stuff in Red Shift, and in particular with his reconstruction of some of the early scenes from the book with a couple of actors improvising for him. So you do learn a little bit more about Red Shift. We also have a rather odd inclusion on the DVD. We have something called The Spirit of Cheshire. So Alan Garner, very firmly rooted in the county of Cheshire. And so we have this travel documentary about the county, narrated by Michael Horden, who you may remember from the BBC Whistle and I'll Come to You, My Lad play that we've covered in the past. But it's an odd little inclusion on it. It's about 20 minutes, a strange one to find in there, but I suppose it tells us a little bit about the landscape and the country that so interests Alan Garner.
Yes, that's right. It was a little bit unusual to have it in there, but it's nice that BFI is so thorough in including different things of these types.
Yes, and they've also included quite an extensive notes booklet. Again, as ever, a few spoilers in the notes in there, so be careful about when you read it. And all this is packaged up and available on amazon.co.uk for £18 at present. I note that you can find it on iTunes, just the film itself, for £4.99, which is a pretty good price. But not on any of the other rental sites that I can find at the moment.
Right. I did notice that the book is actually still in print, which is quite nice, and it's widely available. I have not had the chance to read it, but any of our listeners who have read this and watched the film, it would be lovely to hear what you have to say about the difference between the two, or what you thought of the book on our Facebook group or by email.
Yes, we would be fascinated, actually. If you've read the book, please write in and tell us, or get in touch with us and tell us about it.
Now, on Region 1, there is no release, which is not entirely surprising because I don't think this had much in the way of international distribution. And usually the things that are released on DVD and so on in North America are things that were broadcast in North America at some point. But I did see that the BFI DVD as an import is on Amazon.com for about $19 right now, which is not bad.
Okay, so you can get hold of it there as well.
So next time, we will talk a little bit more about the multiple time periods and how things fit together in this interesting and mysterious piece and where they go with Redshift.
Plus, we'll get to our own opinions, review the show, and suggest whether or not you should part with your money for it. So we have got some stuff to get to when we come back.
Yes, absolutely. Very good. You can reach us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can also find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com, where we are there with a number of other podcasts. And you can, of course, find us on Facebook. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group, and that is our main community where you can get to talk to us and a number of our listeners and see some various links that people have posted of some interesting videos and interesting pieces. So that's always a fun place to gather.
Absolutely, it certainly is. And it's where we've been talking about the BFI's science fiction series and this number of recent releases from them. So yeah, do come and join us at Facebook, or you may want to drop by vognetwork.com, which is the home of the Voice of Geeks streaming radio, for all sorts of geeky shows about science fiction, about film and TV, about gaming, comics, a host of stuff you can find there. British Invaders is one of the shows. We go out on a Monday and a Tuesday night. But yes, do come and join us there as well.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And until next time, it's Eamon in England also saying goodbye.